I need to apologize to you guys because I said 1:15 and I am now 9 minutes late. Yeah. That is my, I apologize.
I'm afraid to say anything.
You don't have to say anything. I'm apologizing to you and I'm apologizing to the fans. The shit got on the road a little late. That being said, a lot of news has happened in between now and 1 o'clock. Jeff Bezos has now stepped down as CEO of Amazon.
Yeah. Why are you so excited about that? How does that affect us in any way?
Because there's a job opening and it could be me.
I don't know if they're hiring.
This is America, Jack.
I don't know if they're hiring actors for the position, but you could try audition maybe. Send a self-tape.
Listen, I've seen TED Talk. All TED Talk is somebody getting up on stage and convincing you that they are on point with their stuff.
Oh, I love how you struggled for the sentence on point with their stuff, with their stuff. That's like that. What's his name? The simple guy in The Simpsons when he goes, Lisa, do you like stuff?
Ralph Wiggum.
Yes. Yeah. That's when Ralph Wiggum's trying to flirt with Lisa.
Dude, do you like stuff?
But I know what it is. I know how to do that. If somebody writes it for me, I got you. I'm an actor. That's what I do.
I have a theory that running Amazon may be a bit out of your skill set.
I don't know. I didn't say I wanted to run Amazon. I want to be the face of Amazon. How about that? That's what I want. I want to be the face of Amazon. When you think of toys and packages and deliveries and a bunch of jobs for Americans, I want you to think of me.
Okay. Maybe they'll put your face on the box if you get the job.
That's branding.
Speaking of your face on things, we should talk about this awesome new merch that's in the merch shop for everybody. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Good to see you, or at least pretend to see you. We have these things. They're called badge pulls. If you work in a hospital or if you work somewhere where you have to wear a badge and then you have to reach down and put it on some sensor to open a door, well, we have solved it for you. We have really dope badge pulls from Fake Doctors.
They are really cool. I got mine today. I was kind of poo-pooing on the idea of the badge pull, but it's actually real cool. Even if you don't have a badge that you need to pull on, you can put your keys on it.
I gotta say, and I'm not just saying this because we made them. It's a nice fidget toy. You know how you used to have the fidget toys?
Yeah.
I have it on my desk, and I've been fidgeting with it all day.
Okay, but you got to put it down. We're doing the podcast. Right
I know. Now. I'm sorry. It's like when I ate and people got all upset. And then the other thing we have just in time for Valentine's Day are our Turk and JD keychains that are broken hearts. So your lover or your friend gets the half of the heart that's JD or Turk, and you get the other one. And then when together, you can press them up against each other and go, eagle!
I like that.
There you go. So you go to cottonbureau.com. That's where we have our merch. You just search for Fake Doctors, Real Friends. And it'll bring you to our merch page. We know you guys like merch because you seem to buy a lot of it. And we have new stuff for Valentine's Day.
You know what? I love the locket because you know what it reminds me of?
What?
Betcha he reads. Betcha she sews. Maybe she's made me a closet of clothes. Uh-huh. Maybe they're strict. Why shouldn't they be? They're one mistake. Was given a me.
Now wait, before you go on, I want to know the audience to know that if you know what that is, you either are gay or love musicals. Or both.
As is my case.
Here we go. So maybe now there's prayer.
Go ahead.
The last one of its kind. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Won't you please come get your baby?
Let him have it. Hit that note, girl.
Baby.
Little run. Do a little run. Yeah. Give me a little run, girl. Yeah.
Donald, yes.
I don't know if we can beat that intro. Let's get into it. 5, 6, 7, 8.
About a show we made.
going to do a shorter show today. You know why?
Why?
Because I have been affected by negative comments on my Instagram.
What happened? So what happened? No. It's because of GT, isn't it?
I had people saying the GT's thing was boring. I had people saying they didn't want to hear about the stock market. And A, I'm giving up social media because I'm so fucking sick of social media. And maybe I'm not taking my criticism well today. But we're going to give the people what they want.
How many people
we're going to go right to the show.
How many people said it was boring, and how many people said they didn't want to hear about the stock market?
I stopped reading it, but there were probably like four stop doing a GT kombucha ad, and like maybe three don't talk about the stock market. So maybe seven people pissed me off.
Really?
Yeah. out of over a million.
I love the fact that you got to take a break. If anything, now's the time to take a break.
Well, I am taking a Twitter break. I got to tell you, that documentary. Did you guys watch the documentary? What's it called? The Social Dilemma? Is that what it's
Social
called?
Social Dilemma. Yes. Yeah.
That was really, if you haven't seen that and you're listening to this, please check it out. Was it on Netflix?
Yeah, it was on Netflix.
It's really mind-blowing about, and Donald, I know you watched it, just about how these apps were designed to be addictive, and I am fully been addicted to Twitter.
I'm so addicted. Dude, I'm so addicted, I'm now paying money on apps now. It's so bad because, you know.
How are you paying? Like, you're buying shit?
Buying shit on apps. Like, there'll be video games, and I'm like, I really need this power up, though.
But I'm talking about I'm talking about through all of this insane news cycle between Trump and the pandemic and everything else, I have been addicted to Twitter. I just read news nonstop like a drug. Right. Just what happened this second? What happened this second? And then I watched the documentary and I laughed at myself. I'm going, it's just no different than any other addiction. I'm fully addicted to this app. Totally. And the app is so negative and cynical and just a rain cloud, I find, that I'm then filling my brain with just fucking a fire hose of negativity.
Well,
and,
everybody,
I would like to stop that.
Everybody seems to think that their information is the correct information. Where they're getting their information is the it's the information of the gods. It seems like my information is so perfect. And so on point with what triggers me that I can't stop looking at my social media and phones. You know what I mean? So my phone. So whatever I started, whatever algorithm I created, it's so perfect for me now that it's like
what you're talking about.
I wake up in the morning, I grab my phone. I get on the toilet, I grab my phone. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's like. It's crazy, and that's what social media is. It's made to trigger you because it sees what you keep tapping on, and now you're gonna get flooded with.
Of course, what I learned on the documentary was that even when you're on Instagram, even when you're scrolling by things, and let's say you slow down because for me it's like a camera gadget. Let's say because that's what my whole feed is like, puppies and camera gadgets. But like you slow down, it's registering. Oh, you even before you clicked on it. It knows that you slowed down around the area of that camera gadget. And so now it's like, you know, they do it great in that documentary. They show you like, okay, he's slowing down for the camera gadget. Now let's send him a push notification for, you know. And it's so true. Now Instagram has really figured out their algorithm how to sell shit to me because everything I pass that's an ad, I'm like, well, yeah, they're right. I do kind of want that. But I'm not even – Instagram is the next step. I'm starting – because that's at least pictures. I'm starting with – taking a Twitter break just because I think it's – I just don't think all that negativity is good for my brain personally.
But that's where everybody gets their news from now.
I know. I got to find it. I'm trying other sources for news.
I get taken a break. I think Twitter was like, I got to take a break from this. You know what I mean?
It's not just the Trump talk. It's just like anything. Anything. The whole game of Twitter is who can be more snarky and quippy about any topic. And that's fine. I participated, and I have a lot of followers over there, and I'm sure that I'll fucking fall off the wagon and be back soon, all you lovely people who follow me.
That's what I was about to say. At the end of the day, you know why you have Twitter, and you know why you have Instagram.
Well, I'll go back to promote my wares. It is an amazing tool for me to say, hey, guys, I have this thing coming out, and I do it for the podcast. I do it for the projects I have, and that's amazing. And But I just kind of like that documentary has been sitting with me like over my shoulder, and I've been thinking about it. I recently have a friend who's taking a February off from booze, and I was thinking to myself, I've taken alcohol breaks a bunch too, but I thought to myself, you know what? I want to take a I'm gonna be inspired by my friend and take a Twitter break. Anyway, I do.
Happy Black History Month, buddy.
Happy Black History Month to you, my African American friend.
No
hey,
doubt.
Do you did you watch the show I told you all to watch? In and of itself, you didn't watch. You guys did,
but right? I know about it. I know about the guy, and I'm not going to pretend that I did watch it. But I know about the guy through Neil Patrick Harris, who is a big time. He's into magician. Magic. He's into he's into illusions and all of that stuff. And we were filming a Cigna commercial together, and he was telling me about this guy on Broadway who he went to see, and he had never seen the tricks, like any of these tricks. Well, like the thing with magicians is like they all know each, for the most part. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Prestige.
Yeah, I love The Prestige.
Right. One of my favorite movies. Oh, everybody, wow. But everybody knows, magicians usually know the ins and outs of magic. Yeah. It's rare that somebody comes along and makes the magicians and the illusionists go, how the hell did he do that?
Do you ever watch that show? Do you ever watch that show, Fool Us, with Penn and Teller?
Oh, yeah. That show was fun.
It's a really great show, Donald. You might like it, where Penn and Teller, who are obviously the pretty darn dialed in magicians who know anything and everything, they have a magician on, and the magician does a trick, and then they confer. And if they can figure out how the magician did it, then you didn't win. And if you fool them, then you get to open for them in Vegas.
That's awesome.
And it's really cool because they do it in a really clever way where they don't want to, obviously, if they know how he did it, they don't want to ruin it for everyone. So they'll sort of speak in like magician jargon. They'll be like, oh, I'm curious if you've ever learned the Sailorman switch. And the guy will kind of smile and then be like, yeah, you got it. So they won't like ruin the trick for everyone, but they'll let the magician know that they figured it out.
They figured it out. Yeah. They taught me my first magic trick, Penn and Teller did, back when I was in junior high school. And I was doing a television special with Marlo Thomas called Free to Be a Family. And we got to meet like a bunch of people, and we built a space bridge to Russia. And it was like the first time that like what we're doing right now, a Zoom call was done. This was back when I was in junior high school. Anyway, Free to Be a Family. It was the sequel to Free to Be You and Me.
Yeah,
right?
Free to Be You and Me.
Right. And so, and in it, Penn and Teller comes and they teach the kids of America how to do a magic trick. And it was the how to make the handkerchief disappear in your hand trick. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something, man. First of all, what an amazing act they had, because I really thought that dude was mute. Up until he taught us the trick. You know what I mean?
I think what's funny? I once saw their off, when I was a child, my dad took me to their first off-Broadway show. And it was weird because he I don't think he was mute like when he wasn't on stage. Like they would do a thing where at intermission they would chat outside with people. And I think he was out there talking. I don't know. I think his shtick is he only does it when he's, quote, in character.
Got it. Yeah. But they were so funny to me, and they were so different. And I love that, one of the guys had his nails painted. One of his nails was painted. I thought that was really cool. You know what I mean?
Well, anyway, I got to tell you, Donald, please, and listeners, please check out. Probably the most highly recommended thing I'm going to give you since we've been doing this podcast. It's called In and of Itself. It's on Hulu. It is a taped performance of a off-Broadway one-man show. And he is an illusionist, and there are illusions, but he also is a genius storyteller, and he weaves these beautiful stories around the illusions. And also, without spoiling anything, the editor, as Frank Oz directed it, by the way. Maybe that'll get you
really
to watch
awesome.
It. Maybe that'll get you to watch it.
I love how I love Frank Oz.
I was trying to think of a Star Wars connection for you, and I found one.
No,
Frank Oz
not.
Directed it.
I know Frank Oz was Yoda and everything like that, but it's not that. I once ran up on Frank Oz and was like, this is angel dust. It's PCP. You have any idea what this does to kids? And he looked at me like I was crazy. Yeah, he looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, Do you remember that line? He's like, yeah, I remember that line, but dude, you're blowing my mind. I was like, good. I'm glad I'm blowing your mind.
That's cool. Anyway, last thing I'll say about it is that Frank Oz directed it in such a cool way that they cut between multiple performances. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's a really clever way to present the material. And it's a little bit slow paced at first. So have patience, put your phone away. I'm telling you, I think it's one of the most beautiful things I've seen in a long time.
I could not agree
when
more.
When was the play? When was the show?
They did like over 500 performances of it. I'm assuming it's so genius. I'm assuming that the pandemic must have been the thing that closed it, because I don't know how this would ever close.
Yeah, probably. Really? I know my family saw it live 2 years ago.
I wish I'd seen it live. It really makes you miss live theater. It's so good.
Oh,
all right.
Totally.
Let's segue into the show, Donald, because some people out there like us to do less of a shoot the shit session, and we're going to give them a special episode today.
Oh, really? So we're going to do what the seven haters want?
We're going to give the seven haters what they
want. All right, this is for the seven haters.
Actually, the seven haters probably would like none of that 16 minutes of talk we just did.
Okay, well, from here on out, this is for you seven haters out there.
Yeah, here's one for you seven haters. Oh, you know
all
what?
Right, here we go.
I'm not even going to time you, because that might slow down the show for the seven.
There we go. There we go.
Ass heads.
I still want my beat, though. I still want that.
By the way,
beat.
Daniel, that new beat you found is fire.
He's got more. He's a DJ. But thank you.
You're a DJ, and I know you're good at that, but I'm giving you affirmation.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You should find a way to put "I appreciate that" on all your beats from here on out. I appreciate
that. Hey, Daniel, I have a question for you.
Yeah. Like DJ Khaled's another one. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Daniel, you know how DJs radio DJs have the pad they can hit, and it'll be like 16 phrases, whatever they want? I could hit it and it would be Donald making some. Can I have one of those for our show?
Anybody can have one.
No, I want one, and I want it to somehow go into your live recording of the show so I can hit it. Yes, Donald, yes.
This is dangerous. This is so dangerous.
Oh my God. I know Donald's going
to
ask for
one. Do you want me to turn the key?
Too?
I'm not going to do it. I'll turn my key.
We'll talk about it. Okay.
I'll turn that key for you, but only for one. The only one thing. No.
I can't abuse it.
You cannot abuse it. If you abuse it, that shit is out the window.
I thought you were going to say that you wanted one too, and I knew that would be a bad idea.
No. I'd be doing beats in the middle of the fucking podcast.
I want to do what they do on Howard Stern, was they have they have a zillion at this point, but we would have like 10 or so catchphrase noises and sounds, and we could hit it, and I could hit it at a strategic moment.
And we're only doing that for the haters,
though.
Daniel,
why do you look like you abhor this idea?
I love the idea. I just know that once we get into the nitty-gritty of actually getting it done, it might not be such a popular idea anymore.
I know people be sick of me hitting the button, but I think we should try it for a few episodes.
Great. Well, we'll talk about it after the show.
Well, can I just put a line into my H6 Zoom recorder?
But if you want us to hear it, it's a different
process.
You're going
to have two lines. You can figure it out. This is your specialty. You build computers.
I do indeed know how to do it. It's just going to take a lot of effort on your part, Zach. I'm just letting you know. You're going to have the software on your computer. That's all I'm saying.
I just think what's going to happen is I'm going to do it for two episodes, and then everyone, including my seven haters, are going to fucking hate it.
Well, we're doing this for the seven haters now. They asked for it.
You're right. You know what, Donald? You seven haters are getting a shorter preamble to the Scrubs recap. But in exchange, I'm getting a noise machine.
We'll work it out.
All right, Donald, go with your recap.
Here we go.
Yeah, go.
Cox and Jordan are still married. Turk's jealous of the Todd. Elliot's the chief, and JD's the co-chief. Karma is the ultimate ass kicker. The way it comes back around is very reminiscent of a circle. That is all.
Wow. Brief today.
Oh, wow. All right.
Karma is
you said they wanted it brief.
Well, I don't know if the seven haters said to shorten your
Well, they
your
wanted
summary.
It shorter. They didn't want any of the other stuff. So what
yeah, they, you know what? You know what? Since they made us cut fun, they get a shorter fucking summary.
Shorter fucking summaries.
Those seven haters.
This is what you get for hating.
Oh, boy.
I think like 1.4 million people follow me on Instagram. Those seven people ruined it for everybody.
Oh, boy.
All right, Donald.
You know,
I agree.
Some people would say just stop reading your comments, but I agree with you.
I'm making fun of myself. And I always give you shit when someone riles you up. I'm like, so one person out of that many fucked you up. How about Garrett Donovan as meth guy?
Very funny. And looking very young and svelte. I like the haircut. I haven't seen Garrett with a haircut like that since this, I guess.
Do you think he's gone bald, Garrett?
No, I think he has. I think he had.
Oh, sorry. We should tell everyone who he is. Garrett Donovan is one of our very funny writers on the show. He was a partner, writing partners with Neil Goldman. And together they were a very funny writing team. And that's him in the beginning of this episode playing a politician who's on meth, who's handcuffed to the bench. He can't wave his hand to go, hey, because he's handcuffed.
But he's on meth.
This episode was funny.
I laughed a lot. I laughed a couple of times, actually.
Yeah. Once again, Rob Mascio steals the show in this episode.
Once again, Rob Mascio steals the show.
I mean, you see his whole package. The funny thing about a banana hammock is it's just cock and balls wrapped in a little cover. But you're just looking at the whole thing.
Well, you can't see it, but yeah, it's
I mean, you can't see the outline of the trunk, but you see the mass.
Yeah, you see mass, you see width.
Yes. You can tell that Rob is not small.
Length.
Oy, oy, oy.
No, I think he's Italian.
No, he's Italian, Mascio. But we should ask. I know we did ask him on the show, but I'd like to ask him. How do I phrase it?
Go ahead.
Does he have a giant cock? Because I don't know what's creating such a mass. I know if you tuck balls and shaft into a tiny thing, it looks good. But his looks particularly girthy.
Massive, yeah.
Massive.
Yeah. Massive.
By the way, penis aside, his body looks amazing.
Ripped.
He's ripped.
It only makes sense that after he pulls his heart out.
Yes, but wait, before you get to that, he thinks there's a calendar being shot outside. That's what you told them, right?
Yes.
There's surveyors that are surveying something with their surveying equipment, and yes. And Turk wants to steal the surgery that he's supposed to do. So he tells them that they're out there shooting the Sacred Heart calendar, and he's out there. And he's fully oiled up, and he's looks slim and really great. And he goes, "This is June," and then he turns around and sticks his ass out, and he goes, "Here's a little peek at July." That's funny.
Yeah.
I had forgot though that Rob looked so good.
Yeah, Rob is freaking. You know. When you look back at all of this, I remember Rob being like, I can't eat that because it'll be, you know, 20 minutes on a, 3 minutes on the lips is 30 years on the hips. He would say shit like that. You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
right.
And if you really, he looks like he worked out consistently and starved himself, but he's still big. And you know what I mean? He still, like has a big waist and still looks strong. Yeah. But he's slim and fit. I don't know how old he was at the time, but well done, Rob.
Yeah, he looks great. He did a good job. I mean, that's a lot of pressure to be in that tiny amount of clothing on national. And it is crazy when you think about it. I've said this before, but when we moved to ABC, from NBC to ABC, ABC said we couldn't show Rob in his banana hammock anymore. And it is pretty crazy when you look at it. I mean, I know it's, you could say, how is it different from a woman in a bikini? But it is bizarre to see someone that naked on what was network TV. I mean, you can see the outline.
A male that naked on network TV is a little bizarre because it's not and it's not what it's not that he's in his underwear. It's that we're not highlighting that. We're highlighting shaft, balls, and all of that. Like that's what the shot is highlighting.
And it's covered in a fire material. It's like right. fire covered balls and shaft.
It's made to make you not. Nobody's looking at Rob Mascio in this
right.
shot.
You're meant everybody's to look at shaft yeah. and balls. Yeah.
Yes.
All
absolutely.
rolled into a tight ball.
That's enough. Just stop talking about your willies.
Anywho, how funny. Speaking of homosexuality, how funny when
great line
when
great
Kelsa line goes. There were nights yes. in the service when it didn't seem too far fetched.
That shit was hilarious. Perry, even if I went that way, and believe me, there were nights in the service where it didn't seem that was far-fetched, Ted isn't my type.
Yeah.
And then Ted goes, I beg to differ. I've seen Enid.
Oh.
There were nights in the service where it didn't seem all that far-fetched. So the so Jordan and Cox are still married because of a Ted made a paperwork error.
Right. And he's still married to his ex-wife who is sleeping with his brother.
Right, because his brother has a hairpiece.
Right.
And but Kelso Kelso goes, Mazel tubs all around.
Ken Whittingham directed this. Did we say that?
No, Ken Whittingham directed this, and we like Ken Whittingham a lot. He's a very talented director. And it was written by Gabrielle Allen. Let's talk about You've Been Graveled, Donald, because this is the introduction. Right. There's a few things here that are Scrubs runners that are introduced here. One of them is the You've Been Graveled game. Does this come back? I forgot.
I don't know that it comes back, but I will say this. This was one of those things where Turk and JD are really pushing hard for this game to work.
Yeah.
And if it does come back, I don't know if the two of them can be the ones that gravel the next person. Like, it would have to be somebody like Molly. I think maybe Molly gravels somebody. I think it does come back.
Should we ask Trevor Wiki? We haven't asked him anything in a while, and he's got the signed Funko Pops.
Let's get it.
Okay, Trevor, in this episode, we learned that JD and Turk are trying to get the game Gravel, You've Been Graveled, to catch on. Does this come back in future episodes? I don't remember if this is the only episode where people are graveled.
Happy season 4, Donald, Zach, Joel, and Daniel. JD and Turk have a lot of fun games. My personal favorite is coming up in a few episodes in My Roommates. But gravel is only mentioned in this episode, My New Game. But if you're looking for more gravel-themed hijinks, there's a similar prank in my finale where Dr. Kelso and Donnie replace Ted's coffee with dirt.
Thanks, Trevor.
That, and then, okay, so that shit was hilarious. When Turk finally realizes that JD was the one that graveled him, and he says to JD, hey, man, no, JD says to Turk, well, what about putty pants?
No, Play-Doh pants.
Yeah, what about Play-Doh pants?
What the fuck is that game?
And then Turk says, well, Play-Doh pants became all about the money.
Yeah. And what the hell is that backstory?
There's no backstory. It was just something that we made up right then.
There's two moments in this episode that are like, have no, like, so random and then not explained. This is one of them. We don't know anything about what Play-Doh pants is or why it became all about the money. And we have no idea what that game is. And the other, at the end of the episode, when in the baseball, we're at the baseball field. Why am I tackled for no reason? And
it's no reason whatsoever.
I'm just
no
tackled.
Reason whatsoever.
And the guy doesn't even say sorry, and you don't address it. It just happens.
And the guy throws the baseball, and he almost hits me in the face with the baseball, and I don't move. It's like, wait, this is a weird. And then Ted, you owe me money, which I remember you wrote. You wrote that. I remember that.
That shit's funny. I can't believe you remember that. I was so proud of that.
That was such a great joke because it closes the show, but it was such a. I remember thinking that is. That reminds me of like my cousin when he gets drunk and fucking that is exactly what he would say, some dumb shit like that. You owe me money right before he passed out. And you know what it really reminds me of, though?
What?
It reminds me of a certain night that you and I went out. No, I didn't go out. You were at home. Did we go out that night? I've got more money than you. I've got more money than all of you, and then passed out right on his face.
Yeah. Donald and I knew someone who got so hammered, and we were all back at my house hanging out, and he was so embarrassingly drunk that he was like, and I've got more money than you, and I've got more money than you. And he's like pointing at us, and then like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi collapsed.
Passes out.
That's how he went out.
That's how he went out. He passes out with his ass. Well, not only does he pass out, he passes out with his ass up in the air. And then Josh goes, I wonder what he's dreaming about. And Zach goes, probably all of his money.
I know. Oh, it's so awkward. But But yeah, I don't know why. For me, it was so fun on occasion when I would come up with a line on set for one of those guys like Sam. And just like, oh my God, this would be a funny thing for Ted to say before he passed out. And then Sam does it and does it so funny. I just remember you and I were belly laughing. It was so
laughing
funny.
So hard. I remember,
you owe me money.
I remember thinking that was such a genius joke too. Like, wow, Zach fucking wrote a, that's a great,
that's the first time, season four? It's the first time you thought I wrote a funny joke?
No, well, everything else was kind of like a button. This is like, this was a joke that went on from him pouring the alcohol in the thing, and now he's drunk. He drank the booze so fast, because literally, it's like a minute after we see him pouring.
He says something like, I go, thirsty, Ted? He goes, it makes the tears taste less bitter.
Right. And then he's drunk. You owe me.
He gets
me
drunk
my-
quick.
Really fast. Maybe Ted's
not much of a drinker, but he really pounds down that fucking vodka. Hey, I laughed a lot at when I'm walking down the street. This is the episode, if you haven't watched it, where JD's obsessed with being co-chief and he wants to be the real, just regular chief. And he has his business cards and he goes, I'm trying not to make it about me, you know, unless there's someone I could doink as he's handing out his business cards.
As he hands the business card to the hot blonde chick as she walks.
This is the first time, I think, that we hear the scooter referred to as Sasha.
No. Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Because
this is before to Sasha. I guess that's in your show, right?
I forgot where Sasha gets assassinated. By the way, my episode's coming up. The one that I directed that you all know is the best episode in Scrubs history. It's coming up very soon. I just looked at the majiggy, and it says 408. I always thought for some reason it was fifth season, but it's not. It's the eighth episode of season four.
Well, Heather's in it, so it has to be.
Our little spreadsheet that Joelle made says Zach Braff, director. Are you a good surgeon, by the way?
I don't know that Turk is a good surgeon.
I wrote down in this episode, is Turk a good surgeon?
I don't know that it doesn't seem
like you're great.
No, I think he's a good – okay, I don't know that he's a good surgeon. I'll say that. I do know that Todd's a better surgeon. Todd is probably the best surgeon in the – he is the best surgeon in the hospital.
Right.
And Turk is very, very, very jealous of it.
Right. But, I mean, you know? You literally sew your gown to the patient in this episode.
It's happened before, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's happened before to people.
You know, nobody's perfect.
I heard of a story of some surgeon had they were cutting some tube and they had like the covering down on the person's body and they were cutting the tube on the cloth or whatever it is that covers the person's body, and when they were cleaning up they saw that the knife had gone through to the person's leg.
That sounds horrible, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure shit like that happens all the time. And then you know they're like, yeah, hey, for free, we took a little benign tumor out of your leg. All good.
God.
Oh, they lied.
No, I don't know that that's the end of the story. I'm saying I wonder if that's what people do. They're like, hey, we saw something on your leg that was a little sketchy, so don't worry. For free, we took it out.
Didn't we have a moral episode, one of those episodes where Turk made a mistake and then went and told the
we just passed that.
The piano kid.
You were like, yeah, and when we were recording that, I was like, I don't know if they just go and admit that they fucked up like that. But what do I know? Is the caller here, Joelle? Let's invite the person in.
Caller's here. You want to go to break first?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we're gonna go to break, everybody. And we come back. We've got a very exciting caller. Joelle, do we have any presents to give away?
He could be our February giveaway if you like. Yeah.
I have so much leftover merch from my different projects. I was thinking we could also give away my old merch.
Sure, I can make that work.
I have wish I was here records.
Love that. Ooh. Oh God. I think this guy's vinyl got a fan, records?
Yeah,
so
I got
really appreciate it.
I got vinyl Wish I Was Here and Garden State soundtracks.
You should send that to Danil. He'd like that. And to Joelle.
Danil, I didn't know that you were so interested.
Garden State album slaps.
I mean, look, we can save this for later, but I've purposely not tried to fanboy as much as possible. But surely you two know I literally grew up watching Scrubs. Garden State is one of my favorite and my family's favorite movies. The soundtrack is like a soundtrack of our, it's one of our family's favorite soundtracks of all time. We don't need to go into this right now, but like.
We can. Now. Why are you shaking your head? You love me.
Because all I'm hearing, all I hear right now is. Dear Slim, I wrote you, but you still ain't calling. I left my cell, my pager, and my home phone at the bottom. I sent two letters back in autumn. You must not have got them. There probably was a problem at the post office or something. Sometimes I scribble addresses too sloppy when I jot them.
All right.
But anyway,
get
fuck
up from
it.
My chair.
What's been up, man? How's your daughter?
On that note, we'll be right back with my super fan and Joelle and Daniel. Right back. And we're back.
And we're back.
Daniel.
Yes.
This is going to be yours.
Oh my God.
So pretty.
And it's 180 gram vinyl.
Dear Mr. I'm too good to call or or write my fans.
Stop.
This will be the last time that I ever.
180 grams. That's good for records,
thick.
Right?
That's a thick vinyl
it's
right
thick,
there.
Thick. T-H-I-C-C.
I'm so touched. Thank you, man. Thank you.
And
it's been 6 months and still no word. I don't deserve it.
Inside is a personal letter for me, Daniel.
Oh.
There it is. There it is.
Oh, God.
He knows you. He knows you wrote the last two letters perfect. It's
such
right
a touching
on point.
Moment between Zach and Daniel.
Actually, this interesting story about this this crane we're standing on. The flower was actually graffiti that was there.
No way.
And this didn't say New Jersey. It said some crane branding, but they changed it to New Jersey.
Nice. That's gorgeous. Thank you so much.
Little inside scoop for you.
How many black people were in the soundtrack?
Not many.
There doesn't appear to be any African Americans on the soundtrack.
You didn't even have Met the Man on the soundtrack, man.
Oh my God.
At what point in the movie?
I'm just bullshitting.
Right, this would have been funny.
This is how I got out of having to read the script. I just want to know that.
All right,
y'all ready?
So, Daniel, we'll give that to you, and maybe we'll give it to a fan.
I'm so
as well.
Touched. Thank you.
That's really awesome, dude. That's
we're
very
letting
nice.
Him in. We're letting him in. Anthony.
All right, let him in.
Anthony Balestrieri, I believe.
What's up, Anthony?
Welcome, Anthony. Thunderous applause, Daniel, for Anthony.
Anthony
Balestrieri.
Right. Oh, there you go. You got it.
Donald, put a little. Have you ever done Oprah voice with an Italian last name, Donald?
Anthony Balestrieri.
The Oprah is Italian, so.
Welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Where are you calling in from?
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Well, welcome.
Ann Arbor in the house. It's cold there.
I'm gonna hold up my hand. Where are you? Here?
Zach, you got it right, buddy. It's right
okay.
down here.
Okay. This is how they tell you in Michigan. You hold up your hand and he's right here.
You're right. Every Michigander I've met has done that same thing.
You know what? I just did that lame thing. You know, whenever I tell people I'm from Jersey, they say, "What exit?" And I just hate that. And I just did it to you. I did the hand thing from Michigan. I'm sorry.
Now, I've met folks from Jersey and they tell me there's a central Jersey that people not from Jersey don't know about.
Jersey's huge, and people don't know much about it. You know what I hate about people's shit about Jersey? Excuse my digression. But, you know, people give – this was kind of one of the points of Garden State was like I wanted to show how beautiful it was. People – it's the Garden State. I mean, that's why they call it. People fly into Newark. It's one of the biggest international airports in the world. Newark is our industrial area where – you know, it's a city, but obviously the airport is the industrial park. So you land and people are like, this is Jersey? Yeah. Jersey's beautiful.
I bet.
End of tirade.
You know, I like the industrial part of Jersey. I'm going to be honest with you.
You spent some time there.
I spent quite a bit of time there, like almost 8-9 months there. And I love Jersey. And shout out to Jersey and shout out to the whole tri-state area. How about that?
Well, I think we can just give Jersey their
shout
moment.
Shout out Michigan too.
Especially since we're giving out these gifts.
I am from
LPs.
Here, but it's nice. It's nice.
All right, Anthony, do you have a question for us?
Well, first, Anthony wrote in for a specific reason.
All right, Anthony, write in for your, tell us about your specific reason. Sorry, Joel.
I did. Yeah. You know, Joelle and I were talking beforehand. I thought I might just read out my email.
You'll be the first caller we've ever had read an email, but I'm going to approve it.
Okay.
I'll turn it here. Key, he's prepared.
Key as long turned. As you're okay with
turn
it.
Your key, sir. All
right. Turn my key.
So I said, hey, Joelle, you know, I've got, I just got done listening to episode 401. My old friend's new friend with Heather Graham that released today, your caller, the pharmacist tech mentioned something about the Pfizer vaccine, which was not true. So I wanted to offer some clarification for you, Donald, and the rest of the fans. Though she was correct in saying that historically many vaccines are prepared using embryonated chicken eggs, these new mRNA vaccines produced by Pfizer and Moderna are not made that way. So I then provided Joelle in the email a couple of different excerpts from documents saying that these mRNA vaccines are made in a cell-free way. So they're not.
So you needn't worry. You want us to broadcast to all over the world, which we can do for you now. Thank you for this public service. That
sure.
You needn't worry if you have an egg allergy about these vaccines.
Yeah, I would say no. There's basically no egg. There's no egg in it at all. So
okay.
Yes, I call on Donald. Go.
I have a question now. Okay, so now, do you know about vaccine, or is this just something that you know that this vaccine doesn't have?
Yeah, you know, I'm a biochemist. I know quite a few things about a lot of stuff. I know stuff about vaccines. I'm not an okay. expert, but I can tell you maybe some stuff. Yeah.
Here's my question. I'd hear that Johnson & Johnson's vaccine is coming out, and it's DNA-based. What is the difference between DNA-based, and what does that mean, and the difference between what Pfizer and Moderna is?
Sure, yeah. I can speak more on the mRNA vaccines because, you know, in the last 24 hours, I've tried to read up quite a bit more on them. But the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is something different. It's not this new technology. However, it is something that is, it's not an old technology as well. They're using an AAV vector. So this is another virus. However, it doesn't cause any disease in humans. And so they're just using that same system to inject some viral DNA into cells in order to create that immunological response.
And the Johnson & Johnson one is coming out, right? It's happening.
Yeah, I think that they're probably applying for their EUA somewhat soon. So I think their data is coming out and it looks pretty good. The last time I checked, it wasn't as effective as these mRNA ones, but still definitely useful, especially because it's not stored in the same way and can be stored at.
You don't need the freezing cold. You don't need the freezing cold freezer, special freezer thing.
Yeah, that's right.
What's your opinion, Anthony, on whether the government should be giving out all the second doses as they come in or holding them back? Because that seems to be a point of contention these days.
Yeah, so I think we should really stick with what that first authorization was said, which was that we should have two doses separated by this amount of time, because that's where all that data was showing. You know, they have some data showing, you know, how effective it is with just one dose, but that, you know, they were only tracking a certain amount of people like that. And that was because, you know, those people didn't show up for their second dose or whatever. So that's a much smaller amount of people. We have much more data showing that, yes, two doses can be this effective. And I know,
but the trick is that, like, you've got the logistics of planning to withhold these doses, even though there's a line around the corner, because everyone needs their second dose. We got to count on the fact, if we give these out, that the second doses for the people that already got their first dose will be back in time. You know, that's a lot of trust in the system.
You're right. It's a crazy thing. It's a crazy thing that we're even suggesting that we can do, you know, that the fact that we can sort of say, oh, we're going to try and make all these things and send them out to all these people. That's a logistical nightmare. I can't even think about, you know, what it would take to do something like this.
Well, right? they haven't quite done it yet.
They haven't I'm about to say they haven't figured it out. The rollout, I'm going to be honest with you, in my opinion,
it's been slow.
I think it's been very slow. I think it's been especially slow in African-American communities and in Latino-American communities. And you know what I mean? Like, if you look at the data, it shows that white Americans are getting vaccine a lot more than minorities in America. And that's crazy to me as well.
But as I understand it, Anthony, there wasn't really a federal plan. I mean, the previous administration had just said to the states, like, figure it out, right? Now they have to sort of build a federal infrastructure. I know that they asked for military help, manpower to help distribute vaccines.
Don't you think that would make it a little bit more organized though, Zach? Like I've in some ways, this is one of the first time where it's like I kind of wouldn't mind having, you know, military medical personnel.
No, I'm all for it. Do something. You know what I mean? Do something. We're this incredibly rich country. We spend like more money times 100 than anybody else does in the military. Use them for something that's actually not going to put men and women's life in danger. Use them in any way.
Well, their life is going to still be in danger. It's COVID, man. So they're still risking catching COVID and dying from COVID.
Okay, I'm just saying we're not sending them off to a foreign war.
Understood.
We're saying let's help them heal the country.
Understood.
You know, it's important to note that progress is being made. You know, I'm from San Diego and I lived there all my life before I turned 18. And so I try to keep my ear down at what's happening down there. And they're setting up these huge vaccine deployment things. There's one in Petco, the place where the Padres play. There's more being made all the time. They want to do 5,000 doses a day. And although that's not fast enough, it's something, right? It's getting out.
No,
absolutely. Didn't they set something up like that here at Dodger Stadium?
No, there's one in Riverside. Riverside has all you have to do is make an appointment and live in the Riverside area. It's a mass vaccination spot in California, in Riverside, California.
But you still got to be over 65 these days.
No, it's anybody who wants to get vaccinated that lives in the city of Riverside, in the county of Riverside.
Really?
Yeah.
How did they get the doses? I thought we had made a national rule that we
So what's happening is that doses are being sent to the state from now. Remember, this is what I'm reading here. Not reading. This is what I'm seeing on the news. So please do. It's on the news, and I'm quoting the news. So please don't jump on me if you feel like I've misquoted somebody.
Well, we have Anthony here to clarify any fuck ups you make.
No, don't do that to me, Zach. I can't do that.
Don't do that to him either, man. That's not. It's not right. It's not right. Nobody deserves that pressure.
Right, well, we should have real JD back on because he's Mr. Dialed.
So, sure, but check this out. So, check this out. This is what's happening across America with this rollout. Some places are set up to deliver vaccine by appointment to the elderly. What happens is, this happened in LA, in Los Angeles County, they were supposed to go till, let's say it was from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night. They were doing their due diligence and giving the vaccine to everyone that had the appointment. And at 7 o'clock, somebody shows up with 500 more vaccine, of containers of vaccine. And it's like, here, we've got more vaccine. Now they don't have an appointment. These things are going to run out.
Yeah.
They're going to expire.
Yeah.
What do you do? This guy runs out into the street and starts giving vaccine to people walking down the street. If they're giving out vaccine and they're not caring of how it's being transported, but how it's being taken care of, how it's being administered, if they're not putting the infrastructure into place, what do you expect people to do? So the city of Riverside, it seems like, is like, look, if we have this vaccine, let's give it away. Let's not throw it out.
I've heard anecdotally some stories about LA where there's distribution centers, like you're saying, that run out of senior citizen appointments or run out of, you know, all the people that are eligible in whatever this is called. Are we in 1B? Is that what we're in now?
I don't know.
I think it's called whatever this is like. It's like supermarket workers, frontline workers, healthcare workers, and everyone over 65. And so they don't have anyone, like you're saying. And so people are like lining up like it's like a sneaker store or Supreme and waiting to be like, you know, you're going to throw them away. Can I get one of those? And so that's become like a thing people are doing. They're like waiting. And some days they don't get it. Some days they do.
There are a bunch of ways that you can get vaccine and not be, you know, a senior there are a bunch of ways. You can volunteer, from what I understand, at the sites and watch, you know, observe people administering the vaccine.
But that feels like trying to do something to get it feels, I don't know, a bit sketchy to me, like you're cutting. Whereas like we're in a line because they're going to go bad and no one's here feels like you're not cutting. Do you know what I mean?
That's the thing, though. The way it's being rolled out right now, I don't know that it feels like even the government seems to be like survival of the fittest, because they're not, they don't give a crap on who's on. It feels like that. That's what it feels like when you watch the news and you're given the information from the news. That's what it feels like. It feels like we aren't the country isn't doing enough to protect people from COVID. That's what it feels like. That's the narrative. Well, you know, that
the important thing is that these vaccines were made in order to protect people from the risk of getting this disease. And everyone that is at risk, which is mostly older people, but people that have pre-existing conditions, they should be able to get it as quickly as possible.
Well, we know somebody who didn't have a pre-existing condition, and he passed away from COVID. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Like,
and he was 40 years old and healthy.
And his 40 years old and
healthy. His wife's a trainer.
And so it's like, if it's available and other people don't want it, then give it to the people who do. It's just that simple, you know?
All right, let's segue, because we've done a long time on this, and we were trying to do a show for the haters.
So we're doing a show for the haters, and I feel like right now we're talking to all the lovers out there, you know? Yeah.
What do we mean by show for the haters?
Well, the haters want us to speed.
Don't worry about it.
The haters want us to speed things up and talk about things that the haters want.
The real true haters, just want Donald and I to solely talk about Scrubs and spend 90 minutes dissecting the episode. Now, Donald and I wouldn't do this show if that were the rules, because we would find it quite boring. What we enjoy is the patter and laughing like we do as friends.
As Turk and JD did on Scrubs?
Because seven of my Instagram commenters got in my head. We're giving them one. We're
making a show for the haters.
They're going to get one. You know what, guys? They're going to get one episode out of nine seasons. What's that? Go ahead, Anthony.
This actually comes right into the question that I had for
Anthony.
You guys.
Does anyone call you Anthony?
Perfect.
Anthony would be great.
Okay. Does anyone call you Anthony? Anthony would be great.
No, I hear Antoine sometimes, and my family calls me Ants, A-N-T-Z.
Anthony's one of those names where you can pick from a myriad of nicknames, like William.
Oh, but not Tony, though. 1,000% not Tony.
Okay. Noted. All right.
Thank you.
That's terrible.
What about Ants?
Ants is great. That'd be awesome.
Go ahead, Ben. What's your question?
So, you know, I wanted it to be somewhat thought-provoking, so I tried to – Joel only gave me like 20 hours to come up with a question.
So. 20 hours is so long.
Only.
Okay.
not even less than that, probably 12.
Go ahead.
But anyway, this question is for all you guys, and it came from a recent argument, loving but somewhat heated argument between me and my best friend, who, of course, I have to shout out. His name's Matthew Asaro. He is the JD to my Turk.
Yeah, I love that you're Turk, brother. Turk.
Yeah, we dressed up as Halloween, and I was Turk, and he was JD.
But you didn't do blackface.
I did not do blackface. Okay, I have a picture.
Congratulations. Every year, Donald has to warn people, do a public service announcement. You're welcome to play Turk. Please don't blackface yourself. All right, go ahead.
So the question is about modern criticism. So it seems like increasingly these days, audiences feel like they have a sense of ownership over the content that they love. So audiences will, you know, they'll fall in love with a movie or a show or a video game or whatever. And then there's some time, and the next episode or the next movie or the next season comes out. And if the plot points or the character arcs or something doesn't fall out the way that audience member particularly wanted it to, then they now feel like that content is trash. You know, it's not what they wanted. It was bad. It was done poorly. You know, there's lots of examples of this, right? Like, you know, The Last of Us Part Two, which was
The Last of Us Part Two.
I was like, I wonder if this is based on The Last of Us Part Two.
It's not just based on that. You know, The Rise of Skywalker is a movie example.
Wait, hold on. I think.
Let him finish.
In terms of television, the last season of Game of Thrones, right? Was really, really, really hated. So to me, you know, where I fall on this is that it takes away some of the agency that the creator has to create their artwork in the way that they want. And so when people take this perspective that I would rather something else have happened, so therefore you made the wrong decision, I think that's somehow sits wrong with me. However, alternatively, other people, you know, they feel like audiences should be catered to because that's what this is for. This is for their entertainment. And so I wanted the opinion of you guys as artists and creators, which you all are, to think maybe, how do you feel? Do you see this trend happening? What do you feel about this type of problem?
So I love that this is the type of conversation that I like to have. And I wish a lot of people had conversations like this, because I think maybe a lot of the things that happen, a lot of the bullying that happens, a lot of the, I don't want to say hatred, but that's what it is, that comes from people's emotions and investing in, when they invest in movies and stuff like that. If it's talked about, we can solve all of these problems. So I am one who believes that the audience does have some ownership in. I feel like if you create something and you put it out there, you're doing it so that the audience can feel like they do have a bit of ownership in it. And I think that's what makes, and I'm going to bring this up because it's one of my favorite things in the world. With Star Wars, I love that Lucasfilm and them give you ownership, like give a lot of the fans ownership in, from fan film to theory to whatever. I love that. Now, where it gets a little dicey, though, is when things don't go your way as a self-proclaimed owner of whatever it is. I'm of the feeling that if it's good, it doesn't matter. So, I have issues with The Last Jedi. I still think it's a good movie. I just don't think it fits in the Star Wars Skywalker saga. Oh, do I hate the
episode of Star Wars? Yeah. I can't wait. We don't have time here, but one day. But
do I hate The Last Jedi? No. I love The Last Jedi. I just don't think it fits. And I think because of that, The Rise of Skywalker suffered. That's me personally. I'm allowed to think that. I'm allowed to have that opinion. It's my opinion. That's all it is.
But you're probably not the guy who's on a board or on Twitter trashing it so hard that...
Well, it goes a little too far. Then people become bullies and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that happens.
And that's where it goes too far. You know, what happened to some of the actors from Star Wars is horrible and should have never happened.
That girl, Kelly Tran, is that her name?
Yeah, Kelly Marie Tran was bullied. Ahmed Best.
Rose.
You know,
you know what I mean?
The legend.
You know?
Even Daisy Ridley,
Daisy Ridley. Like, she's no longer on social media because of it.
Yeah.
I think it's because fans want to be heard. And when people conflict, when people fight back, when there's pushback, then it becomes I don't know. This is a great thought-provoking question. I feel like ownership in something. I think ownership in something is that's how you know you have a hit, when people are like, I feel like I'm a part of this. You know, you've struck a nerve. You know what I mean?
I know, but it's a bit self-destructive. It can be self-destructive. You can destroy the thing you like. Like, I worry for Bill. I'm sure Ted Lasso season 2 is going to be amazing, right? But there's so much hype and pressure for him to deliver, for him and Jason to deliver something as good or better, that you just can't help but go, oh God, season 2, I hope that they don't get. And I can just picture like people being like, no, it's ruined. Fucking sucks. And it's a high class problem. You've created something people are so passionate about. But it's very hard to, once people like something so much, to still create in that space without offending some portion of the audience.
And you have to care about that. You need to worry about offending.
I'll just jump in here real quick. The point is, fans don't know what they want. And it's a problem because sometimes fans think that they have ownership to the extent that they know how a story should unfold. instead of sitting back and going, this is how I'd like the story to unfold. This is why I'm such a promoter of fan fiction. In fan fiction, anything you want to happen can happen. And you can love that in that own space. But you can't possibly, a writer and a critic, don't know what I want from a show. Like, I have ideas, I have thoughts about it, but what I want is to be surprised, and I cannot manufacture that surprise by guessing what's going to happen at the end. You want a creator, especially if we're going to talk about franchises or big tentpole things that, like, have this longevity and an established tone and feel. Like, we live in these worlds sometimes hours, we're rewatching these movies, we know every detail, and so we are invested in them as if they are, you know, for some of us, it's like sports. Like, we know the players, we understand how the rules of the world and how it works. And so we get very enveloped in, like, if it doesn't follow those rules, it's hard to understand. What I think is happening right now for fans is there's we've reached a new platitude of fandom, right? Before, if you liked a movie, you liked the movie. You had the poster, maybe you saw it when it came to an old theater and was rerunning. That was it. Now, if you like a movie or a TV show or a comic or a franchise, there's, like, all this history involved and, like, this very long legacy, and there are now new people allowed to tell those stories, right? And when you have new people coming in to tell these stories, what they're looking for is something that they got out of the original fandom that wasn't at the surface, right? So what I love about Batman isn't necessarily Batman. He's, like, a rich white guy going out to kick ass. I like all of his sidekicks who created a family for him, and, like, and that becomes his, like, main thing that he has to focus on is his family, not going to kill the bad guys. Now, that's different than what Batman was intended for, but it doesn't make me any less of a fan. It makes me a different kind of fan. It makes me a fan who has a problem enjoying a modern Batman movie, right? That doesn't mean I don't like it. It just means it's different. And we as fans have to accept there are two different roads now, and we have to appreciate those two roads.
That was my question. If you take that away, is it still a good Batman movie? In your eyes.
Because it's still Batman. It's still the core Batman that people can enjoy. I don't need to like it to know that there's a fan base for it and they freaking love it and they get a lot of it. If you like Batman holding a gun, power to you, man. That's all you. Like, you can enjoy that.
Right.
There's no problem with that. I hate it. I hate it so much. I don't think Batman ever would touch a gun. It's weird to me.
But
there's other content for me to enjoy, and I don't have to tear down a filmmaker or his vision in the same way. I don't like the modern Joker.
Drive him off Twitter.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. We have to allow space for all of our, like, in the way that comic books has done really well over the years, which is to say, if you don't like a creator's vision, that's fine.
Don't buy it. Don't
but
buy
it's
the
different.
Comic.
Right. It's different. And it doesn't make it wrong or bad. It's just different. And we can enjoy the different iterations of the characters.
Keep in mind, years ago, no one had all this ability to scream to the heavens everything
so
they
that
hated.
Part.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole everyone can opine thing has created, this issue.
Well, I mean, it's one of the most interesting and one of my. I don't hate it. I love the fact that there's all this dialogue. I do hate the bullying, but I love the fact that there's all of this dialogue about, you know, a project that seemed to be one of my favorite things that seemed to be, you know, the argument was it's the same thing over and over again. And then when it was given something different, it shifted people, it made people go the wrong way. It made a lot of people go a different way. It made a lot of people, it switched everybody up.
Episode 7 to 8, you mean?
Yeah, I 7 to 8 to 9, yeah. All of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Isn't Star Wars a good example of Rian Johnson came out and made a film that was challenging everyone? Everyone screamed at it, so then they overcorrected and went back to, like, just a loyal fan movie.
That's a perfect example of it. And I think – so here's the thing. It wasn't what a lot of fans wanted. That being said, it was still made, and there's a great story that could have happened afterwards. But there was such an uprising with the fans and such an argument with the fans that it split Star Wars in half. But it was like, it's almost like a civil war that's going on, or that was going on, and that they tried to correct it. And I think maybe that was a bad move. I still love Star Wars. I still watch The Rise of Skywalker. I still watch The Last Jedi. Me and Joel talk about it all the time.
Fans might not know exactly what they want. They might think they know what they yeah, I agree with Joelle. They might not, they might think they know what they want, but that's not necessarily going to be satisfying to them. It's comfort food. It's comforting to just have something that's familiar. It's like anything you try that's different. You tighten up and you go, oh, this is different. This isn't what I know. And I want the comfort. I want the safe thing.
And it also depends on how you think of movies and stuff like that. You know, you have to be invested. That's the only way you can get to this level of fandom.
All right. Well, that was a very thought-provoking question. I think we need to kind of end it because we're doing a short show today for the haters.
You don't want
to
try and fix his life?
Do you have a fix your life problem?
Of course I do.
All right, we'll
is it
going to
be a thought revoking? I can't even think right now.
Weed, not so even bad. Once. One of my buttons on the new thing we're getting is going to be weed, not even once.
I hate you.
All right, go
I feel
ahead,
like Yosemite Sam. I hate you. Reddit.
All right, a quick fix your life, sir. Go ahead.
All right, so you know I'm a young or relatively young single guy, and I work a lot, and you know I'm in graduate school. I lived in Silicon Valley before I moved out here to Michigan, and there's this culture of working all the time, work. And now I'm in this PhD program at this big R1 university, like University of Michigan, and it's just the same. You know, you work. And I see myself kind of barreling down this career path of, you know, having all this work in my life where I'm sort of pushing away the other things. So I can see how, and this would be my mom's opinion, which she's made vocal before many times, that I don't give myself enough time to dedicate to like the non-work life portions of my life, you know, like the romantic life or hobbies or other work-life balance sorts of things. So I know that you guys have both navigated these careers where, you know, there's seasons, I'm sure, where you've got these times where you're not doing much, but then there are seasons where you're working all the time. In those seasons, how do you still find that balance? You know, how do you still make time for romantic relationships or other things?
You have to choose it because this is all you got. I mean, I always come at it from the point of view, I don't believe in an afterlife. So this is all I got, okay? I'm 45 years old. If I'm lucky, let's say I make it let's call it 90. So I got 45 solid years. That's it. Then they shovel me in the ground. What are you going to do with that time? Of course, pursue your dreams and your goals like you are. But do you want your one experience on earth not to have love, not to have travel, not to have adventure? You're very smart. Obviously, you're going to achieve all your career goals. I don't think anyone listening could have any doubts about that. But the question you have to ask yourself is, what else do you want your life to be about? And it's about dedicating time to that, choosing to making time for it.
Sure.
Donald?
That's tough. Zach and I got into an argument over stuff. We get into arguments over things like this all the time.
Sorry about it.
No, it's quite all right. Work is very, very important, and I get that. I'm one of the people who hates the fact that work is so important in making it so that I can have the things I want. But I get work hard and you achieve things, but I hate that. Okay. Here's the thing. I hate that I'm defined by how hard I work. I think that is in a lot of ways bullshit. I don't think I should be defined by anyone. I feel like if you are going to judge me by how hard I love my family. Judge me by how hard I, here's my daughter right here.
And right on cue, she comes in.
Wow.
Listeners, Wilder. Right as he said that, Wilder came in for a hug.
Oh, we're almost done. Okay. Guys, my kid is going to college today. He is.
Oh my gosh.
Where to?
He is leaving the homestead to go away to college.
That's exciting.
Somewhere in California?
Somewhere in California. He can't leave.
Congratulations. That's exciting.
Yeah, he's going to art school.
You're getting your first empty nester moment.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Only 11 more to go.
Took a while with all them kids, yeah.
Well, Anthony, I don't know you like that, first of all.
Anthony, you're getting a little too comfortable taking shots at the host.
Guys, I've been listening to this podcast since it started, so I've heard all the stories.
That's too much ownership right there, Anthony. Too much ownership right there, Anthony.
Sounds like Donald shouldn't have a problem with that, then. Anthony.
I don't. I don't. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Anthony's putting his feet up on the desk and shit.
I love that. As he should. Well, right. As he should.
Listen, we got to go, Anthony, because we're trying to appease our haters and do a shorter show.
Sure,
you're a lovely man.
Thanks, guys.
You're a very thought-provoking guest. Don't feel bad if some of the Star Wars stuff is cut out, because I don't want the Lucasfilm to be mad at me.
Oh, my God.
You guys honor me with your comments. Yeah.
Oh, he said you honor me, Daniel. He is a super fan. By the way, that's going to be – by the way, you saying you honor me is going to be another button on my pad.
Oh, my God.
Nice. You honor me. You honor me. Daniel, I need one also that has a little record thing so I can be honor me, honor me, honor me.
How much equipment you want in your desk, Zach? How much equipment you want in your desk?
I just want a full-on DJ rig here. All right. Anthony, good luck in your pursuits.
Oh, thank you, guys.
We have no doubt.
I wanted to plug a couple things if there was a second.
Go for yours. Go for yours.
You can plug away.
I got a professional Twitter, as one does these days, so if you guys wanted to shout that out. So that's at @aballist_chembio, so @aballist underscore chembio, C-H-E-M-B-I-O.
Especially if you're a young lady who's looking for a PhD candidate.
I wouldn't disagree with you.
and might live near Michigan. Go ahead.
I just followed all you guys this morning on Twitter and followed Donald on Instagram as well.
Nice. Thank you very much.
But only you, Donald. 000. Nobody
Thank
else.
You. As you,
that's
I
only between you and me.
That's Anthony, okay. Thank you.
Also, you know, I wanted to say that scientific communication is really tough. You know, the biggest story in the world right now is a science story. And there's people out there that are really trying to do that and disseminate information in a good way. And it's really hard, but there are people out there that do it. So if I could point everybody to This Week in Virology, which is a podcast as well as a YouTube channel, which is hosted by a virology professor at Columbia. And it's a group of professors that get around and talk about, they're virologists and immunologists that talk about everything that's happening right now. And it's really good science talking. And it can be a little bit tough at times, but they've got non-scientists that listen. And it's great information that I really
I've been listening to lots of podcasts lately, and I'll add that to my mix. Thank you. Andy Slavitt is also a great follow. Andy Slavitt is now... I think one of Biden's people in charge of the COVID response, and he's a super smart guy on Twitter, all about everything. All right, Anthony, thank you so much. And that's a new section called Anthony's Plugs. And we're going to have it in every episode. Anthony will come back on and plug something.
And just your friendly neighborhood biochemist trying to love it. To send good vibes.
All right. Love it. All right, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Take care, brother.
Anthony, thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that was nice. Donald, let's talk a little bit more about the show because there's still some funny stuff we haven't talked about.
There are quite a few things that we haven't talked about. Marty returns, the janitor's sidekick. They probably played one of the best pranks on you.
Yes. Very good. The janitor the janitor breaks the broom in half. And I'm like, oh, are you trying to be intimidating? Why? He goes, no, I needed to break the broom in half. And I'm like, what possible reason could you have for breaking the broom in half? And in walks Marty.
Sup, bruh?
Sup, bruh?
Thanks,
bruh.
Yeah.
By the way, it was the perfect size for him.
It was a perfect size for
him. Yeah. It's a great joke.
But to make the joke work, he has to sweep in the hall. You have to see him sweep with it.
Yeah, but he's sweeping the carpet, which is the classic Neil thing. Why am I sweeping the carpet? Why am I mopping the carpet? All right. So that was funny. And I laughed at... When Todd pulls his heart out in a fantasy to give to the patient, just as he's dying, he says, I'm gay.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, we know that he's fluid, as the kids say these days.
Well, we know that he wants to know about Turk's package all the time.
Yes. But I think it's safe to say we've talked about on the show that the Todd is down
the Todd.
For,
That's
for
what any, he is.
Look how cute my dog is right
for
now.
For anything and everything.
Are you looking how cute my dog is right now?
So cute.
She's sleeping.
That dog is not cute. That dog is so ugly.
What?
Shut the fuck.
The dog. You see the dog look up like, what the fuck he say about me? the fuck he say about me?
Oh my god!
A beautiful puppy.
He is a very. You have a very beautiful dog.
Anywho, Coolio. Sarah says Coolio, and Kelsa goes Coolio indeed.
Coolio indeed. I want to talk about Cox and Jordan in this episode.
Go ahead.
Because they have a very interesting storyline. They're in the beginning of the show, they're all happy-go-lucky, and they're loving the fact that they're just, there's no real, there's commitment, but there's no, there's nothing hanging over them. And then they find out that they're still married. She finds their old wedding rings, and she presents them to him. And he says, are you kidding me? I love this. I'm going to wear this for the rest of my life. And it sends them down a spiral of, I don't know if I can do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Well, it really articulates well, I think, that when you put a wedding ring on someone, the difference is you're saying for the rest of our lives. And they were perfectly fine in getting along without the pressure of for the rest of your life.
Right.
And the second they had that pressure back, they were like, fuck, they were all out of whack. So they hold a divorce. They have a ceremonial divorce and invite people to come watch them get divorced.
And that's why Ted's getting drunk at the end of the show.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because it's the after party.
What were you about to say? You like what?
I like being married. I enjoy it. I like it. It's a lot of fun.
You found a good partner.
You know, and it's not always that way. But I truly enjoy my wife.
I think you got singleness out of your system.
You know, I was a serial dater for a really long time, and I don't know that I was ever really single. I am for sure married now, and I think I've got the dating out of my system. I love what me and my wife have and how we, and I think if you have that, and you know, for us, we like the feeling of being married. We like the statement that it makes for us, to us, to each other. Yeah. But whatever it is that you believe, whatever makes love work for you, you stick to it, right? And that's what Jordan and Cox do at the end of the show.
I think they show a good example of a couple that's like, We just don't like the word married. It fucks us up. We'd rather just not be married.
It ain't for everyone. It really isn't for everyone.
Let's talk about those Raw outfits from the movie, from Eddie Murphy's Raw.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I don't remember. Are those the exact replicas? Because I remember that was the style-ish. But
I think it's a replica. I really love the fact that we are having trouble walking around
in them.
That's
so funny. We can't walk
in them. And then I really love your take on the word Raw. At the end of the joke, no wonder Eddie Murphy called it Raw.
Yeah. I go. He said, I'm chafing. Now I know why Eddie called it Raw.
But you added a little bit more to the Raw at the end.
What did I do? What did I say?
You were like, Raw.
Now I know why Eddie called it Raw. And then I go to find, I go, Carla, do you have any powder? But the way we walk in those outfits is so funny. They should have brought those back.
Oh man, didn't we? We didn't do that again, didn't we?
No, I don't think we wore those outfits again.
Okay.
How about when Elliot's go? Oh, look at poor Elliot riding a tandem bike alone. I always thought that's got to be the saddest and loneliest sight you can see is someone riding a tandem bike alone.
You don't. That's a judging a book by its cover. You don't know that person's circumstance.
Why are they riding a tandem bike alone? It's so lonely.
Well, in Elliot's case,
it was the only
her
bike
car that broke down, and that was the only bike that she had available to her.
Yeah. It'd be funny. It would be even more sad if you could ride the tandem bike alone from the back.
Oh, God.
That would make it seem even more lonesome.
I don't even want to take the lead. I just want to be miserable in the back.
By the way, I would love a tandem bike you could ride alone from behind. That would be so funny to watch. You just need to adjust the steering to the back.
To the middle, however it would be.
So then I get tackled. I didn't know why that happened, although it was funny. I just had no idea why it happened. That's the show, yeah.
Yeah. What were you about to say?
Well, I was going to say the real one ends with Beck song "Lost Cause," but I had something else on my one on iTunes for some copyright reasons. Thanks a lot, Randall. That's our show, everybody. We did it
for the haters. No, that's our show for the haters. That's our show, haters.
Yeah,
for the haters.
One, But we still digress. But for those of you who write mean comments to Donald and I saying that we digress too much, that's as minimum as it's going to get. That's as minimal as it's going to get. And we did an hour 30. And that's it. That's the one time we're going to do that in 9 seasons we do this. Okay? Right, Joelle?
Yes.
I really like the – I really
– I feel like we should hang up and then catch up more because we just didn't do enough of it. And I need more of it from you.
Well, do you want to – we can always get off the – we could always get off the line.
No, I don't want to – this is for the haters. I'm going to – I'll call you privately.
Okay.
I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about some movies I saw. Okay. I want to do some impressions for you.
Have you seen any movies?
I want to tell you the craziest story you've ever heard. Sorry, guys, I can't tell it on the show, but I have the craziest bit of gossip for you.
Damn it!
I can't wait to hear it.
You're not going to believe it. I ran into Brad Pitt.
No, get the fuck out of here! No,
I did it. He's listening to the podcast, and he wants. I got to tell you the story. I'll tell you.
Okay, offline. Tell me later.
I'll tell you offline. All right, guys, we love you. Hey, for Valentine's Day, this is a very cheap / funny present for your lover. It's a Turk and JD split heart keychains. They're available at cottonbureau.com and then just search for fake doctors, real friends. And of course, if you work in a job like a hospital where you need a badge pull, we made them for you. We love you. Check out that show I told you about on Hulu. It's really good in and of itself. Donald. I'll call you in a moment. We'll catch up. I'll tell you the Brad Pitt story.
Dude, I got something to tell you too. It's going to be great.
Okay. By the way, I'm pregnant, but I don't want to tell everyone on the show. So I'm going to tell you in private.
The internet rumors are about to be wild.
You know it's probably
I don't mean my partner's pregnant. I mean I am pregnant.
Well, you know it's probably going to be an ass baby then.
Yes, I want to tell you about. I've already talked to the doctor about how I'm going to deliver through my rectum. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and